The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
From the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, under the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, under the place of the altar which he had made there first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. Can you see the blessing of heaven on them? And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled there in the land. And Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. It's not the whole land before thee. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me, if thou wilt take the left hand, and I'll go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, and I'll go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee I will give thee, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then thy seed shall also be numbered." Which is very interesting, because Lot chose the best place, and Abraham obviously got left the leftovers, yet God said, "I'm going to bless you." That is even more proof, even what I just read to you, that it doesn't matter where you are, when the blessing of heaven's on you, you can be in the worst place, but it'll be blessed because you are there. He says, "Arise and walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built an altar unto the Lord. Now, wherever we go, of course, we bring a message of salvation and deliverance and victory. What's very interesting is that many people think that the road to victory is always the easy way. They think, okay, God's going to pick for me the easy way. The Lord just always picks the easy way. So people think that the path to victory is the easiest path. Personally, for me, I've not found that to be true. For whatever reason, it would seem that I always pick the hardest path. And I don't even know how to explain that to you. I know that some people probably scratch their head and go, "Did you have to take that route?" But this just has been the story of my life. For other people, everything's come easy. For me, nothing's come easy. Nothing. I know you look at me, you think it did. It did not. It's been sometimes the hardest route ever, which I hope that encourages you, which that's what I'm endeavoring to do, you know. I always try to encourage people. So sometimes people think that there's a safe path to victory, but many times it's through the dangerous areas. The psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil." And many people take the line of least resistance. So they're always going to go to what is the easiest on the flesh. And that's not where you're going to see the great victories. Can you say amen? Every Bible hero whom we admire faced much opposition and many challenges on the way, including and especially Jesus. You just have to study. Look at Noah. Noah preached for 120 years and only had seven people saved. That Noah must be one of, like, really, think about it. Noah must be like one of the worst preachers on the face of the planet. 120 years and you only got your wife and your sons and their wife, and that's it. Nobody else. No one else. Obviously, he didn't go to school, Bible school, to be taught how to raise up a church. He just had seven others and himself and a bunch of animals. Abram waited 25 years for Isaac and then had to offer him as a sacrifice, which you can even understand that. Like, what? What do you mean? I waited 25 years for Isaac, and now you're telling me to take my son and lay him on the altar? Seriously? But God wanted to see his obedience, if he would trust the Lord. So even though you might be going through some things right now that you feel, you know, woe is me, I'm the only one never gone through these things, I've got news for you. You're not. There's 7.5 billion people on the planet. People are going through some rough stuff, but know that the Lord is with you and that God will bring you through the other side. And great shall be the rejoicing. Can you say amen? Jacob wrestled with an angel. Somebody said, yeah, but at least he saw an angel. Yeah, but he did limp for the rest of his life. I mean, when you grab an angel, you ain't gonna, I ain't letting go of him. If I find an angel, I promise you, I'll choke him. I'll jump on top of him. I'm not letting him go. You know what I'm saying? There's no telling what'll happen to me, but Jacob just decided, I'm grabbing a hold of this angel and I'm not letting him go. Angel said, let me go. No! Not going to let you go. Joseph, the favorite of his father, was sold into slavery by his own brothers, falsely accused and imprisoned, raised up in Pharaoh's right-hand man, and ended up saving God's people. And had every opportunity to just think, I tell you what, I got the worst end of everything. Look at me. Moses, almost murdered at birth, rejected by man, elevated by God, thrust into a position he didn't want, faced down Pharaoh, but ended up with a burning bush experience, delivered 3 million, close to that, ungrateful people from bondage, and had to take care of them and put up with them for 40 years. Wow. Which is enough to drive anybody crazy. That's when you end up striking a rock when you should just be speaking to it. Joshua waited 40 years for the promise of God to be fulfilled and had to fight many battles before he received the promised inheritance. Along with Caleb. So somebody said, man, I've been slamming this thing for a long time. Do you know it's 40 years ago this week when the fire fell on me? So it's a long time, you know. It's a long time, 40 years. But hey, I think we're just ready to get started now. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So some of you young people here, relax, take a chill. You're in a hurry to get somewhere. And even if you got there right now, you wouldn't be able to handle it. So just chill. God knows what he's doing. God will get you to the place that he's promised you. Amen? How many got the book Perpetual Harvest? Why do you think I did that book? Why do you think I gave it out? So you could see that some things will come at 40 and 50 and 60. Amen? The vineyard that was planted 1,100 years ago, where people are still eating grapes. The olive tree that was planted 3,000 years ago, people are still getting olives from it. David, his own family didn't think much of him. He faced and defeated a lion and a bear and then took out a giant. He had escaped from a jealous king, was anointed king, but had to fight many battles and had to wait many difficult and challenging years before he was allowed to ascend to the throne. What I see, because of the generation that we're dealing with today, is people don't want the process. They want the results, but they don't want the process. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow to an idol, and they were thrown into a burning fiery furnace. But not one hair of the head was singed. There was not even the smell of smoke on their garments because they would not bow. They did not burn. Daniel wouldn't bow to worship the graven image, was thrown into a lion's den. You don't understand. A lion is another level. These things were kept hungry. The moment you were thrown in, you were eaten on the spot. But God shut their mouths. Jesus was rejected and killed by those who he came to save. I want to talk to you about, for a few minutes, a message called No Compromise. Now let's go back to the story of Abram and Lot. It was amazing that Abram was the one that God called to come out of his land and to go. Lot went with him, but Abraham was the one that God had made the deal with. God did not make a deal with Lot. Lot was getting in on the blessing because of the blessing that God had with Abraham. Can you say amen? Lot's wife, we know, she turned back and turned into a pillar of salt. She wasn't looking where she was going, and she turned into it. It's just a joke. Keep your eyes open when you drive. If you don't, you'll turn into a pillar of salt. Anyway, if you go there today, you can still see Lot's wife standing. No, I'm kidding you. But in actual fact, Lot should have said to Abram, no, you choose first. But he didn't have respect for his elder, and he took the best part. Because we know one thing, Abram would not have compromised. Lot ended up compromised. He was on the outside looking at the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was on the outside looking in, but what happened is he ended up on the inside looking out. If you compromise, you become part of the situation around you. That's what I've seen in the last 2 weeks, especially in the city of Washington, D.C., and the city of New York. Pastors that just compromise to become acceptable. You cannot allow the temperature of what's going on in the natural to affect you in the spiritual. The spiritual must generate the temperature of the fire of the Holy Ghost, and you have to stay on focus, even in your workplace, even what you're faced with on a daily basis. You cannot allow yourself to be beaten into pulp. Because what happens is when the attack comes, when the persecution comes, people go, I can't do this anymore. And so they capitulate, they throw in the towel, and they just, okay, they acquiesce. They become part of the system. Then there's no difference to you and the system that you find yourself in because you've compromised. People say, if you just change the way you speak, it will open up more doors for you. If you just wouldn't be like this, if you'd just be like this, don't say that, say this. God's the one that'll anoint your mouth. God's the one that will anoint your hands. God's the one that will anoint your feet. God's the one that will send you into the places to say what he wants you to say. And he even told Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces. I'll put my words in your mouth and you'll speak my word and my word shall go forth from you. Don't compromise. Do not compromise. We have a window to see America shaken. We have a window to see our cities and towns and villages shaken. We have a window to see our youth and the universities shaken. And it's going to take radical people that will not compromise. Can you say amen? Somebody said, yeah, but if you just change it, you'll be accepted into the upper echelon. We already are accepted into heaven's upper echelon. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why do you think I spend weeks on your Heavenly Father that you can see who your dad is? You know, when your dad is somebody of note, it changes everything. Do you know who my papa is? I'm not some bastard kid running around here with no daddy, you know. Nobody needs to walk around, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? I know who my daddy is. Listen, everybody has an earthly father, but that's not your real father right now, as a believer, is your heavenly father. So you want to identify with the natural, you want to identify with the spiritual. I'll try this side of here. You want to identify with the natural? You want to identify with the spiritual? You think the children of somebody of note is just like walking around? I mean, I could mention names. I'd rather stay away from names, but I've been talking about people that have huge wealth and whatever. Do you think the kids walk around, I don't want anything from my dad? And we find people in church like, I want anything from my father. Well, your father wants to give it all to you. It's your father's good pleasure. I don't have time to go through 3 weeks of messages on the father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's your identity. You identifying with the wrong dad. Amen. You born again. You got a new dad who loves you. So we're not going to compromise. We're not going to compromise on the message of salvation. We're not going to compromise on preaching the gospel. We're not going to compromise on shouting it from the mountaintops and the rooftops. We're not going to compromise on laying hands on the sick and casting out devils. We're not going to compromise on the message of God's goodness and grace and blessing. We're not going to compromise on the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking other tongues. Sorry, we're not going to compromise on it. We're not going to compromise on going into all the world and preaching the gospel. We're not going to compromise on God wants to bless you and multiply you. We're not compromising on prosperity. We're not going to do it. Sorry. Amen. We're not doing it. So Lot chose the most fertile, the best looking land. Unfortunately, it was right by Sodom full of wicked sinners. Firstly, he was just their neighbor, but then he moved in with them right into the city. He was on the outside looking in, but soon he was inside looking out. Compromise will rob you of everything that God has for you. You make a deal with the devil. And then he owns you. People try to fit in and be accepted, so they run with the hares and bark with the hounds. That's a saying, it's an English term. If they go, they hunt foxes. And so there'll be men on horses, and they blow a trumpet, and then they'll be on riding the horses, and then the dogs will be barking, and they're chasing the rabbits. So some people, you don't know who they are. Are they the dog or the rabbit? Because they run with the rabbits, quickly their dogs are coming. Then the next thing, woof, woof, So they run with the hares and bark with the hounds. I meet many people like that. You never really know who they are. When they're with you, they're barking.
Yeah.
The moment they're out there, he's coming, he's going to do this or whatever. Make up your decision. What you're going to be. It's because of compromise, because they want to become acceptable. So when you like that, you like a chameleon. That's why these politicians, they'll say anything. Depending on who they are, the moment they walk in, background, Then they change. They say whatever those people want to hear. Go right on. You question them on what they just said. No, no, I never said that. And they walked. And then the media goes, they walked back their statement on that. But 2 weeks later, they said the same thing. And you can never pin them down because they're going to change it all the time. They rebrand themselves, re-image themselves, reposition themselves. You know, I've changed over the years my position on that. I've seen people of the word, you know. They used to believe something 20, 30 years ago. Now they've changed. You know? I've changed my theology a little bit. Listen, what I believe, it's not, I see things and expanded because the Lord has added things in 40 years. But what I'm saying right now is no different than what I would have said 40 years ago. I say the exact same thing. Adonica can tell you. She's been with me 38 years of those times. She can tell you. You watch the videos. The same message is being preached. Why? We're not going to change it. We're not changing it. And if I die before the Great Awakening, they could put on my tombstone, you could put a loudspeaker with a replay of me saying, there'll be another Great Awakening. So anybody go by the tomb, they could press a button just to hear that I said it. We're not changing one thing. We're not compromised. There's no room to compromise. Everybody say, no room to compromise. So preachers preach a compromised message. People live a compromised life, and they have compromised faith. That's why their faith doesn't work for them, because they don't know what they believe. If you compromise, you don't know what you believe. Well, I don't really know. The Lord, he's mad today. Oh, he's happy today. They're not too sure, depending on what time of the month it is. Depends on whether God's happy or mad, you know. And especially those in the circles that we move in that are, you know, they call themselves a prophet. It can be dangerous, you know. Because if they get a bee in their bonnet about something, everybody's dying. Well, the Lord is angry. God's angry with America. He's going to destroy America. I said, well, first of all, I'm here. If God wouldn't destroy Sodom because of 50 righteous, why would he destroy us? I mean, he loves us. So there's more than 50 righteous here in this room here today. Why would God destroy? No, I tell you, the Lord gave me 3 prophetic dreams and God's going to destroy the country. Great. You know, isn't that great? Here we are, serving the Lord. He loves us, but some cranky prophet with wet underwear has now deemed that God is going to destroy America. And the problem is I just talked to the Lord, and he's not out to destroy anything. He's mercy and grace. He's standing with his arms right open. He says, come, come, come on. The ark. There is a storm coming. The day of judgment's coming, but it's not right now. The ark is built. The gangplank's down. Come, come. Bring your families. Come on in. Come on in. The blood is available. The blood avails. Come. Salvation to all. Come on. Come in. Come in now. Can I just say something? No. Sit down. Some of the most confused people I've ever met are preachers. Confused. There was, what's God saying? I said, the same thing he's always said. And it always happens around the change of the year. It's like we come out of December the 31st of, say, 2018 into 19, and now this is a new season as we transition. There's a shift into this season. And then, and it's always some mystical thing, like God just changed his mind, like God's stuck in our time zone. God's not in our time zone. He's in eternity. We the one that lives in time. I've been in back rooms with preachers. So what's the Lord saying to you? I said, same thing he said last year. Same thing he said 10 years ago. He's never changed. It's like, don't you know him? If you knew him, then you would know that he didn't change anything. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Maybe I see things differently. Everything for me is one giant service. It's one giant meeting. The only reason we let people go home because you would die in your seats, you know. So we let you go home so you could go eat something and take a shower and get changed and go work and go sleep and then come back. But to me, it's all one same service. It's all just a big service. Same meeting. We're just older. We're not having a service where God shows up at. God's having a service all the time before the throne. And we either plug in or never plug in. Are you with me? Well, let's all pray. Father, we pray that you would move today, Lord. And the Lord said, no. I'm not moving today. I'm like really irritated today. I ate something last night and I just doesn't sit right with me. And Jesus and the Father have an argument. The Holy Spirit's going around the throne like a whirling wind. Come on. You're the one that's confused. You're the one that had an argument. You're the one that shouted at the cat. You were the one mad with the person that cut you off on the highway. Be thou removed and be thou cast into Tampa Bay. There's some poor guy. Listen, you could get angry, you could get upset about something. Don't blame God for your crankiness. Okay? Don't blame the Lord and don't blame the anointing. Uncompromised faith will produce uncompromised results. You will see the unusual. And remember this, you don't have to help God. You don't have to help God. You don't have to find the place where it'll be easier for the miracle to work if we go there. That'll make it easier. God will move in the hardest of places. God will bring an oasis in the middle of Costa Rica. It'll spring up. Are you with me? God will move by his power. It doesn't matter where you are. Because you, Kabrostakaya, you Brakandeli Brusai, you have the greater one living on the inside of you. Okay. So, you're the palm tree. Wherever you go, there's an oasis going to spring up because he lives on the inside of you. And you're speaking his word. And when you speak his word, the atmosphere changes. Circumstances have to change. Whatever was the enemy's plan is being brought to naught, is being brought to nothing. And heaven's plan is being made manifest. Hallelujah. So God's looking for people who will trust him and not buckle or bend. Don't take the easy way. Take the way of the cross. No compromise. Listen, if anybody could have compromised over the years, it would have been me. Because I had all the preachers talk to me. And, hey, change this, change it. One of the great words of advice was from Dr. Oral Roberts to me in 1993. He looked at me and said, don't change one thing. Why did he say that? Because he knew that I would be pressurized from other ministries to change. He said, don't change one thing. Do not change one thing. Somebody said, but Pastor, I'm a little strange. I've got foibles and some idiosyncrasies, and people think I'm kind of strange. Maybe the Lord made you that way, you know, just with those things, just like you are. If you weren't that way, you'd be somebody else. Hello. That's why I stopped trying to look like somebody else. You heard me tell the story. We were flying through Atlanta, and we were at one of the gates. There was like 34 Elvises. 34 Elvises at a gate. They all looked like Elvis. They were dressed just like him. I'm standing there going, which is Elvis here? I thought he was dead. And they all walk around. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I thought, they would never know who they were supposed to be because they took on the persona of an individual. What if there was one among them that was going to do something that was unique to the planet? But he never, ever could see that manifest because he decided to be an Elvis impersonator. Wow. Come on. Some of you are unhappy with the way you look. You're always trying to change the way you look. Your look is very distinctive to you. Now look at it. You see, white people try to get darker. They do. I need a tan. I need a tan. Then they go, they bake like a bun in the oven. They sit there. They put oil on themselves. If they were a popcorn kernel, pop, they would come out as a giant popcorn because they want to get darker. And then black people are trying to get lighter. If I hear people say, oh, I'm too white, I'm too white, that's what you are. That's why, you know, if my hair ever goes, I ain't putting no plugs in there or something. I'm going to tell you right now, my hair goes, that's all just be the way it is. And I ain't dyeing my hair. There's nothing worse than somebody who's seen it and the hair's all dyed, looks like boot polish or something. I mean, seriously. You get in the wind and shh. Look, things change. Look at a picture of yourself 30 years ago and look at a picture of yourself now. It changes. Things change. As I always tell people, the tattoo you got of the deer 30 years ago that now looks like a giraffe, things change. Stop trying to be like somebody else. Let Jesus come and take full control. Amen. Amen. And you just be you. Amen. Somebody just went, oh, that's what it is. It's a giraffe. There's people here, they will put a long neck on it for you. Smile, and we know you don't have a giraffe tattoo. Smile. Everybody say, no compromise.
No compromise.
What you compromise to keep, you'll end up losing. John 12 and 25, if you love your life, you will lose it. You will choose either to succumb or overcome. Why is the pressure coming against people on a daily basis to get you to back off, to get you to succumb, to get you to compromise? And here's the way the devil works. It's never an overnight thing. You don't go to sleep radical for God and wake up totally backslidden. It doesn't work that way. It's a slow process. Little degree by degree by degree. and you moved off course over a 7-year period of time. It's like the frog in the pan. The frog doesn't know. It's getting hotter and hotter. Before he knows, he can't even move. And then he's cooked. It's the same way. It's the same way. That's why I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. That the Holy Spirit will help you. And you feel that stirring in your spirit. Amen. The attack will come. Pressure will come. But you feel that stirring in your spirit. Hallelujah. 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 It's time to stand up and draw a line in the sand and say no compromise. That's it. That's it. We're not compromised. We're not going to compromise as a church. We're not going to compromise as a people. We're going to have to get more and more radical with the plans that the enemy has against the nation. Are you with me? We're not going to tone it down. We're going to speak up more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's people here. God's going to use you in the most profound way to do some of the most amazing things. Just don't compromise. And if the time comes where it's you have to face death because you won't compromise, you'll be happy. Stephen wouldn't compromise. He wouldn't compromise. And they begin to stone him. And he looked up. He said, I see Jesus standing. Jesus wasn't even sitting. You know, Jesus stood like, that's my boy. That's my boy down there. I'm standing up. Jesus stood up because he saw Stephen would not compromise. So this is not the time to sit down and be quiet. This is the time to get even more and more radical. Somebody said, yeah, but I'm going to lose some friends. They're not actually your friends. That's what you don't understand. You think they're your friends, but they're not your friends. By you compromising, here's what happens. You actually allow the enemy to come into your inner circle. When you don't compromise, it keeps them away. The safe place is in the fiery furnace. The safe place is in the lion's den. The safe place is going up against Goliath. The others all shivering over there in the shadows. Can you say amen? Amen. Boy, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now. Mm. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the fire of God right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I mean, it's like there's a dial that's being turned up on the inside of you. There's a dial. You're going to set your face. You're going to set your face on the objective of what God's called you to do. And there's not a devil that's going to stop you from doing it. There's no devil in hell. No devil in hell will stop you. No devil in hell will stop you. Somebody said, oh, but you have to be afraid. People, they'll come after you. They'll kill you. Then you go to heaven. So either way you win, it doesn't matter. You don't understand. Have you seen my father? Again, comes back to the whole, do you know who my dad is? Now let me close with this because people say, well, Pastor, that's just great for you to talk like that. But that surely can't be available for me. But I'm here to tell you, it's for every single one of you. We'll either spend our days reading history, or we'll spend our days writing history. We'll either spend our days reading of stories of old, saying, oh, if only we could have lived. Because I grew up in Pentecost, I know the story. If only we could have lived in Bible days. Yeah. If only we could have lived in the days of the apostles, because you had to get your voice quailing in a certain way. If only we could have lived in the days of Elijah. Meanwhile, Elijah's looking over the banisters. If only we could have lived in the days of Rodney. I'm telling you. They would have given anything. The prophets of old would have given anything. Do you understand this? The prophets of old would have given anything to have lived in this day and this hour. And God handpicked every single one of you to live in this moment. He didn't put you in the year 800. He didn't put you in the year 1200. He didn't put you in the year 1600. He put you in 2019. because he felt you were made out of the right kind of stuff. Hallelujah. And the three Hebrew children were not wearing asbestos units. They were just in there just by themselves. But because they wouldn't bow, the fourth man spit across time and space. And the moment they hit the furnace, he was walking up and down in the midst of the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar said, didn't we put three in there? But I see four. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Can you say amen? Lot goes in the city. Abraham's on the outside. I'm not going to be a part of that. Moses, I'm going to do God's purpose and plan. God says, go stand there and point your finger at Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And I'll give you these signs and wonders. And he does. And God's people get delivered. Compromise will deliver not even yourself. Compromise will kill you. But compromise will deliver you, your family, your friends, your loved ones, and everybody you come into contact with. And that's what God's called you to do in this hour. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say this after me, no compromise.
No compromise.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Man, I feel like I can run around this place three times yet today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Gloria a Dios.
Oh,
Shakam Ronganenda Levrisa Prakanda Danando Reketele Sipa Rangon Jo Prakedele Si Profonde Renane Prefetele Si Prepare Mondre Kataya Rongonondo Rongonde Namato. No, no, no. No compromise. No compromise in your life. No compromise in your home. No compromise in your marriage. No compromise in relationships. No compromise in your business. No compromise in your lying down, you're rising up, you're coming in and going out. No compromise. No compromise. Hallelujah. 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 Say this off me, sir. I'm not looking to be a part of any club. I'm already part of the righteous club. Amen.
Amen.
I have access. I have the key. I've been given the name that's above every name. Hallelujah. Hey! I've been given that name. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. That name. Hallelujah. Somebody said, don't say it too loud. Somebody said, don't emphasize the name of Jesus. Now we will. When I shout it even louder. When I shout it even louder. When I shout it from the rooftops. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How many needed to hear this today? So just reach down on the inside and turn the dial to no compromise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I know if I just compromised the joy, I'd be acceptable some places. And now they do this. power of God's falling all over this place right now. The fire of God's falling all over this place. I hear the Lord saying, because you won't compromise what everybody else is looking for and compromising to get, because you won't compromise, God said, I'll give it to you. I'll give it. I'll give it all to you. I'll give it all to you. Let me just say this and we're going to pray. There are some strategic things happen. I can't even tell you right now. I mean, just yesterday on the phone with Asia, doors that are opening up into situations that I'm just like, okay. And so there's some big things that are happening. And even here in the United States. So you watch, things are going to pick up momentum throughout the remainder of the months of this year. And then 2020. You're going to have that 2020 vision to step into everything that God has. Can you say amen?
Amen.
No compromise. So, Father, I take authority over any realm of compromise in any area, spiritually, mentally, physically, personal, whatever, compromise. And I break it today. Go off of your people. Off of your people today. Thank you for the uncompromisingly righteous in this room today and even those watching in their homes. And I pray that blessing upon them in the name of Jesus. In the nombre de Jesus. And everyone said, amen. I just feel like the Lord just come put his arms around people here. That's what I feel like for me. I feel like the Lord just wrapped me in a blanket. Amen. How many remember being wrapped in a blanket as a kid? That's what I feel like just happens. Like the Lord just come wrap his arms around me. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
You feel that? I feel that. I missed you last week. I wasn't able to. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on. Big things, man. Big things. Big things. Big things. Big things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know you guys just got back from Costa Rica, but I felt to pray right now. Come here. I know you just got back. They just had a great meeting. What, over 6,000 people saved? Come here. They went to Costa Rica. Somehow, I just feel this message is really for you guys. Because, you know, you went in there and you saw great results. But I just know, of course, I know how religion works. Is they tell you, hey, it doesn't really work like that here. You're going to hear all of that stuff. But it works the way the Holy Ghost said. It works everywhere. So the reason why they say it doesn't work is because if it does work, And they put to shame because they could have had it all the time. So they try to talk you out of it because we don't want them to succeed. True. But what God wants to do is huge. This is about a whole nation. But will not only affect Costa Rica, it will affect many countries. And even affect back into America, into many communities. So, Father, I pray over them, non-compromising, a fire. The fire from within will control you and guide you. When the attacks from without, even to your natural mind, that will try to talk you out and say, don't do it, who do you think you are? But you know who you are, you know who He has made you, and you are more than a conqueror. And so there shall be no compromise. And I see the Lord opening up doors into situations, and it's going to shock you. And it'll shock everybody else. And they say, how did you get in there? Who did you pay? Who did you bribe? They'll say. And you say, no, I worship the King and I follow the King. And so get ready for what's about to happen. It's going to be quicker. It'll be a quick work. It'll be a quick work. It's not going to take long like with some other people. It's going to be a quick work. Supernatural. A quick work by the Holy Ghost. And the fuego de Dios, the river, and even the anointing upon you, your speak is like a sword that will come right out of your mouth, like a fire that will come right out of your mouth. And God's fire will be upon you. And I see a generation of ladies that have been held in captivity that will be shaken loose by the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I mean, they're graduates, you know, they feel the call of God to go to Costa Rica, plant a church and raise up a Bible school and whatever. I mean, they just on the exploratory missions and stuff right now, over 6,000 people saved on this last trip. Amen. But the pressure will always come, you know, back off. Don't say that. Don't do this. Who do you think you are? I know, because I've heard it all. But when you hear from heaven, when you hear from heaven, when you hear from heaven, yes. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And this goes for every single one of you here today. I want you to bow your heads, if you would, please, across this room. If you come into this place and you fit into any one of these categories, I would like to pray with you and for you. Maybe you walked in here today, or you're watching by way of television, and you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never said, Jesus, come be my Lord and Savior. But today, the Lord is calling you, and you feel Him calling you, and He wants you to surrender. God will never force Himself on anybody. He only comes where He's wanted. If you died today, where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to a devil's hell because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins and sinners plunged beneath their flood. Lose all the guilty stain today. The power of sin will be broken. The power of guilt and shame will be removed from your life. You might have come in here one way, but you leave another way. Today He calls you. Will you surrender? Will you say, Jesus, come and be my Lord and my Savior? Secondly, maybe you walked in here today and you gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. You've allowed the things of the world to come in. You've lost your first love. You've lost that peace, that joy that you once had. And today you say, I want to be restored. I want to come back. I want to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Will you surrender to Him? Maybe it's something hidden that no one can see. And because it's hidden, you never deal with it because you feel safe and secure in the privacy of your own imagination. But it plagues you. Maybe your wife doesn't know, your husband doesn't know, your parents don't know, your children don't know. Nobody knows, but you do. But today you say, I want it gone. He said, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He said, a new spirit will I put within you. Maybe it's not hidden as we describe. Maybe it's something outward that everyone can see. And now the enemy uses it against you to keep in a place of guilt and condemnation that you feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened in your life. But the devil's a liar. And God's a God of a second chance. And God's a God of a new beginning. If you will just surrender afresh Acts 3 and 19 in the Amplified says, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of the heat, of reviving with fresh air will come from the presence of the Lord. Today, he will renew you, revive you, and refresh you, and restore you. He calls you. Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we describe. Maybe it's a storm that came out of the blue, just like a hurricane from hell that hit your life, a sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world, but today you say, you know what? I'm coming back. Today, I'm going to fall in love with Jesus all over again. And I'm not leaving this place the same way I came. He loves you and he calls you. He says, come. And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love the Lord. That's not even a question. But there's a doubt. There's a constant doubt between your head and your heart. And the devil's always lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. But today you say, I want to know. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm a child of God. If this is you and you fit into any of these categories, I want to pray with you and for you. Right where you are, quickly, without any hesitation whatsoever, put your hand up and say, pray for me. I need Jesus today. God bless you over there. God bless you. 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 Quickly, raise up high. Let me see it under the overhang right back at the back there. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you over here. God bless you. God bless you there. Bless, 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 bless all the way there at the back. Two on that side under the overhang. Two hands back over here. And then this side, hands are going up over here. God bless you. Come on. Right at the back there, all those hands that are raised. I want every person that raised your hand, I want you to stand. Every single person that raised your hand, stand. Stand on your feet. Stand up. Stand on your feet right now. Everyone that raised your hand, stand right now. Stand right now. Today is your day of freedom and liberty. And we're going to pray together. I want you to come from where you are and come stand down here. Bring your personal belongings and come. Come right over here. Ushers, help them. Come. We're going to pray. Come. 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 Come on. Help her. You can come with her. You can help her. Come. We're going to pray. Come. 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 We're going to pray. Come. Today is your day of freedom. Today is your day of liberty. He calls you. He calls you. Put him right in the center, guys. If you're watching by way of television across the Tampa Bay region, I want you to pick up the phone, call the number on the screen that people standing by pray with you and for you. Today's your day to surrender your life to the Lord. You're watching on the Lifestyle Channel. If you get an opportunity, come visit us every Sunday morning, 9:45, right here at the River Tampa Bay Church. You can find the directions on revival.com, but you have the I-4 from Orlando to Tampa, and you have the I-75 from Naples to Ocala. It's the exit south, one exit south, Martin Luther King exit, and we're right here, our world headquarters. You can come and be a part together with us. We have HOJs all across the city of Tampa where people are meeting. We're going into the high schools. We're going to universities. We're winning souls. Come and be a part. God wants to use every single one of you. You can stay home, but God wants to activate you. Activate you. You can come. 1 week from now, we start our 8-day summer camp meetings. 2 meetings a day, 10 o'clock in the morning, 7 at night. For 8 days, it's going to be awesome. Want you to be a part with us in that. But if you want prayer to give your life to Christ or recommit your life or make sure, pick up that phone, call the number right now. There are people standing by going to pray with you and for you. And then come. Come visit us. Come visit us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Gracias. Gracias. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, isn't this awesome today? In the middle of summer. In the middle of summer. In the middle of summer. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says all heaven rejoices over one sinner. Can you imagine the noise in heaven right now? Woo! All heaven rejoices over one sinner that comes to salvation. That's it. Just one. Just one. Somebody said, I only got one. If you got one, you made heaven make a big noise. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you got one, heaven just made a huge noise. I just purpose in my heart. We're going to mobilize so many people that heaven will be noisy all the time, 24/7. Because around the world, you know what I mean? Listen, we were just believing for 30,000 people. That's 100 people per city over 300 cities. 30,000. We're 37,000 already at 110 cities. Compound interest, baby. Compound interest. We were only believing for 100 per city. It's like 340 on average per city. Now watch this. Multiply that by 300 is 102,000. If 102,000 people just win one soul a day to the Lord, that's 37.5 million people. But you know, now there's some people, they're going to drop the ball, maybe do one a week or whatever. But there's going to be some people that are going to be like a vacuum cleaner. No, there's going to be people that are going to win millions to Christ. The possibility, just at the one a day, by the end of 2020, just by the one a day, the possibility of seeing the 100 million come in, it will take like not even two years. It's going to happen. So we said, what will you do then? You said 100 million souls. I'll tack on another 100 million. I'm not stupid. Come on. And just so you know, you think I'm going to stop at 300 cities? At least I'm going to do a tithe. We'll do 330 cities just because we'll do a tithe. And then I'm going to throw an offering on top of that one. Hallelujah. I mean, don't get me wrong. The six meetings, you know, we were up against all odds. But in six meetings, the fire fell every service. I mean, you were there with me. The fuego, the fire hit the place. I nearly lost him several times. I thought he's going to lose. He was wobbling under the anointing. I thought, I'm going to lose my good interpreter. Where's that one picture? Get that one picture from Thursday night. With him and me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Find it, guys. Let's pray. I want you to look at me, every single one of you. Today, you've not come to man. Yeah, this, maybe it was Wednesday night or Friday night. I don't know. It's two pulpits side by side. Find it. Okay. Look at me. Switch it off. I'll tell you when to put it on. Okay. Today, you've not come to man, but you've come to the Lord. And if you mean business with God, God means business with you. So standing here today are three groups of people. Those that are coming for the first time. Those that are coming to recommit your life. And those that are coming to make sure. And I've done this for so many years now. And I hear the testimonies of people that will come to me and they will say, I came forward in a call like this. And I prayed. And then I want to tell you what the Lord's done for me. So I know what God's about to do for every single one of you, if you believe today. And then when we finish praying, I'm going to do something. I'm going to take you and I'm going to put you in the hands of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to carry you like he carried me as a boy all the way from Africa to now. And God's going to use every single one of you. 100 years from now, we'll be looking at each other going like this. Because we're going to take as many people as we can with us as well. Amen? And God's going to use you. So one prayer for all. I want you to close your eyes and raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. Believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Say this out loud. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your words, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead. I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus
is my Lord
and my Savior.
Come into my heart right now.
Take out the stony heart.
Put in a heart of flesh.
Wash me.
Cleanse me.
Change me.
Fill me.
Use me.
Let me never be the same again.
I turn my back on the world.
I turn my back on sin.
And I follow you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for shedding your blood for me.
And thank you that on the third day you rose for me.
And thank you that you're coming back again for me.
From this day on,
I'll never be
the same again.
I confess
Jesus Christ
has come in the flesh.
He is my Lord
and my Savior.
And right now,
by faith
in the finished work of the cross
and by the shed blood of Jesus,
I am saved.
Thank you, Lord,
for saving me now.
Now lift both hands and just thank him right now.
Father,
I pray that you would seal them now.
Seal them by your blood and by your spirit,
that on that day, not one will be missing.
Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God
and use them to impact this generation,
we pray.
I break every curse, I break every
bondage, every addiction.
I send it back to its place of origin.
From this day,
I speak a total release over your life,
a hunger for the things of God,
the word of God, prayer,
and that from this day,
heaven will use every single one of you
for God's eternal purposes.
We pray that now
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.